Cup of Joe podcast on this Tuesday, June the 3rd. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. As we enter into this final podcast, brothers and sisters, why on earth am I doing it on Tuesday? Well, here's the deal. The last four pods that I have sent to my beloved, lovely host have not uploaded yet and not been sent out. Well, they've uploaded. They haven't been sent out to their feeds. So I thought, gosh, well, they haven't been sent out yet. Let's get this one up and maybe all five can be sent out before this coming weekend when we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And so God willing, all five will drop before this coming weekend, and we'll see what we and God's Spirit and the podcast host can do about that. Okay. So, brothers and sisters, before we get to our readings, I want to take some time. I really do. And talk about where this podcast came from. I want to thank people. I want to talk about why it is I'm ending. Is it because since January, the host hasn't been sending the feeds out regularly? It's been very in fits and spurts. And no, it's not because of that. Really, I've known, I think, for the last year plus, what my end game was going to be. But let me start with a little bit of history. This podcast began back in March of 2020. And it started as a daily podcast. And I did it Monday through Friday, every day. And I looked at the gospel of the day. Sometimes I looked at the first reading as well. And then I just spoke. Those were brief episodes. They were 10 to 12 to 14, 15 minutes. But I did it every day. For 2+ years. I think I did it until Pentecost of, around Pentecost anyway, of 2022. And then starting around Pentecost of 2022, so 3 years ago, I scaled back to just once a week on the podcast and just did the Sunday readings. Usually, as you all know, the first reading in the gospel. And for the last 3 years, I've done that. So what, when I looked at it, I thought, okay, in Catholic liturgical cycles, the weekday readings are set up on a 2-year cycle. It's called year one and year two. And every year one and year two, there are different readings, first readings, and then generally the same gospel. But they're set up on a 2-year cycle, and the weekend readings, as you know, are set up on a 3-year cycle. Year A, which is Matthew's gospel, year B, which is Mark's gospel, year C, which is Luke's gospel. And so as I look at it, I thought, you know, I've done this podcast for over 5 years, 5 years and say almost 3 months, and I've done both year one and year two on the daily readings. I've done them for 2 years. I've done every one of them. And now this concludes, this Pentecost, that I will have done all three of the Sunday cycles, A, B, and C. I will have completed all of the Gospels and those most of those first readings with them as well. And I thought, you know, this is the 723rd episode. And I've gone over all the cycles, both daily and weekend. I'm sure I could continue to go on, but I don't know that I have a lot more to say. I think many of you out there know already what I'm going to say often before I do, because, you know, I mean, what can you do after 5 years? You know how I think. You know where I come from. And frankly, I think God is inviting me to something new, and I don't know what that is yet. You know, last week we talked about with the ascension that in a sense we have to let something go. We had to let Jesus go before something new, that Spirit could come and invite us into a new place. And I think it's time for me to let that go, this go, in order for the Spirit to bring me to something new. And I don't know what that something new is at this point, but I'm ready for it. And this has been a delight to do this podcast. And I'm so honored that so many of you have come along for this. I mean, just a guy doing a podcast who started out doing this podcast on his phone for the first year plus and uploading it, not having any idea, brothers and sisters, the thousands upon thousands of people that have listened to it from almost every country in the world. It's like, how does that happen? And what an honor it is to be a part of that. There are some people I need to thank, and I know I will forget some people, but I do want to name people at risk, even at risk of forgetting others. And please know if I have failed to mention you, you are in my heart and in my gratitude. But there are some that I just need to speak about. And the first is Mandy Kramer. Mandy, I have told you this many times. I love the way you think. I love how you see the world and your creativity. Never stop thinking that way. And it was this whole podcast idea was Mandy's brainchild. And it started when the diocese at which I worked started scaling back the voice of the lay faithful. And it was her thought to say, Joe, do a podcast. That's one way to continue to speak and preach and bring the word out to anybody who wants to listen. And lo and behold, round about that time, a pandemic started and our churches shut down, and it made it even more vital. And so if it weren't for Mandy, this wouldn't be a thing. And so, Mandy, I thank you. I thank my son, Seamus, who knew his way around the podcast world. I didn't. And Seamus knew about this host that could set this up for free. And while the host has been perhaps not my favorite these last 4 or 5 months, they have been wonderful for the better part of almost 5 years. And they really were great. And Seamus helped me set this podcast up. Seamus helped me do the artwork. Seamus knew all of these things, and got me in this world when I had no idea technically how to do this. So I thank Seamus for all of that. For without Mandy's idea and Seamus's know-how, I don't think it'd be here. And I want to thank my daughter, Bridget, who not only said, Dad, you know, you don't have to do this podcast on your phone, and set me up and pointed me toward, you know, good professional equipment on which to do it. But she also is the one who just said, Dad, you need a little music before. And so she's the one who wrote and performed the intro song and the exit song that we used. And so I'm grateful for all three of them who helped put this together. It wouldn't be what it is without them. I want to thank the many people who have been on my podcast as guests throughout the years. And again, I may be forgetting some here, and forgive me, but my daughters Molly and Bridget have been on together. They've been on individually. They've been on several times. And I'm just so grateful for their voice, for their insights, for their flame of faith, and just the way they're so not afraid. I don't think I could have done that when I was their age, and I certainly wouldn't have had the wisdom that they do. And I'm just so grateful for them, and just their excitement about being on here. My sister Eileen was on here numerous times with me. Eileen works with Focus Ministries out of Denver and has such a wisdom to her and beauty. Shared a number of times her insights on the podcast. I want to thank Karen Hennings, who was a parishioner at one of the parishes at which I worked, and just a loyal listener, and came forward one day and said, I want to be on. And so Karen was on several times. I remember one time sitting by her pool as we did the podcast, and how wonderful. I want to thank Sarah Fryermuth, who may as well be my daughter-in-law. She's not yet, but all but in name, perhaps, who is studying for Lutheran Seminary and just about finished. And how Sarah has been such a support and wisdom that she has shared on this. My brother Mike and his wife Ginger, who are missionaries over in Turkey through Campus Crusade for Christ, and they were back here, oh, it might have been a summer or two ago, and I said, tell us about your ministry, and they were on here and shared, and it was so wonderful. I think even my daughter Aileen made it on here one time, but only from a distance, and said hello or something, but I know her voice was there. Beside all these people that I've mentioned who have been on the podcast and who helped create it, I want to thank those who have been supporters, and I mean that not monetarily, but I mean just they've encouraged me along the way so many times, and reminded me that when I do this, it's not just going out into the ether, but it really that people are hearing and inspired or supported by this. You know, John Bowen, you have been so wonderful on how you have encouraged me and sent me notes and so many times. I am just so grateful for that, John. Dennis Feeney, you as well. John out east in Boston and Dennis out west in Boise, and just the way you two have supported, and I've been so grateful. Cheryl Burnett in Laramie, who would send it notes saying, Joe, I don't care if they're long or they're short, I just love listening. And that's when I was trying to figure out how the length of my podcast should be. Myra Belser, who's also out in Laramie, Wyoming, encouraged me so much when we were just starting. Preston Baus, Preston sent me a note earlier this year and said, you may not remember me, but I just want to tell you, I love sitting and having my cup of Joe, listening to Cup of Joe. I mean, Brian and Mariah Murphy, you have been supports, Krista and Troy Sager, all these years from early on, and how you have helped support this. I'm just so grateful. Just this last weekend, we were in Minneapolis helping the girls move, and Molly and Bridgie's friend Claire just came up and said how much the podcast meant to her, and I'm like, this is so amazing. And I'm sure there are many others, but I'm just so grateful. Of course, the person I want to and need to thank the most is my beloved wife, Renee, who for 5 years has put up with me when I say, Ray, I got to go do my podcast. And just, you know, she's been so good about supporting this because it's been life-giving to me, and I hope to many of you as well. And so, because of all this, brothers and sisters, I'm just so grateful. This started merely as an idea to just bring the word out to people when we were in a pandemic or to continue sharing my voice. I never thought I would do it for 5+ years, 723 episodes, and reach all the places. But again, I that's all because of you, and two, it's because of the Spirit of God. And so thank God. Thank you. And I am so grateful. I know we're already 10 minutes into this darn thing, 12 minutes into it, haven't even gotten to the readings. And we're going to do all three readings. This might be my longest pod ever, but that's okay. It's my closing one. We're going to do all three readings because, brothers and sisters, we're going to look at the readings for this coming weekend, which I hope they get down before it. And it's the Feast of Pentecost, one of the great feasts of the church. One literally, brothers and sisters, we can put up there with Christmas and Easter. It is the birth of the church. It is the birth of, in a sense, that melding of humanity and the Spirit of God, and what we do with that and what we're invited to do with that. And we see example of what that is. And that's how we, brothers and sisters, get to not only be inspired, but remember that that Spirit is still alive here today. So for those who want to follow along in their scriptures, like to do that, the first reading is out of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. You know the story well, and it's a perfect one to do. The second reading we're going to do out of 1 Corinthians 12. For those of you who know 1 Corinthians, I mean, 12 is the chapter of all the gifts, right? We're going to hear about those. Verses 3b to 7, and then 12 to 13. And then the gospel, we already heard this Easter season, but we hear it again because it makes sense. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. It's always the gospel we get on Easter Sunday morning. One of them that we get. So, brothers and sisters, as always, however it is you prepare yourself to hear the word of God, that you may receive it well within your spirit, that it may find a home, that it may do what the Spirit needs to do, to burrow deep within us and invite us where we need to go. I invite you to do that at this time, to receive it well. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in their own language. They were astounded, and in amazement, they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each one of us hear them in their native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. Inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as always, brothers and sisters, I won't say this anymore. You've heard me say it every week for years. This will be the last time you hear me say it. And it's not just true now. It's true whenever we hear the word of God, or whenever we hear something that we know is God-inspired, by the way. If there is an image, if there's an idea, if there was a thought, if there was a word, if there was a phrasing, if something struck you in the hearing of this word, or in the hearing of the word we will hear, let the Spirit do what the Spirit needs to do with that. Let God continue to speak within your heart, within your mind, within your very being, from this word, from this phrase, this image, this idea, whatever it is that struck you, okay? In fact, if that means turning off the podcast and just sitting with it, please, please do. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I mean, there's so much in these readings, and there's so many ways I could go, but I really want to leave you with 2 points. And I'm going to tell you these 2 points right up front. This word of God reminds us that the Spirit of God is universal. It is for everyone. Everyone is invited. Everyone is invited and asked and offered to be a part of it. This is a universal message, and it is for everyone. That is point number one. Point number two is you and I have a part to play in it, and we are invited to that. We are instructed. We are sent, gifted as a part of it. Let's talk about part one, okay? The first part. Brothers and sisters, that whole first reading, again, think of this Pentecost reading from Acts of the Apostles as the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel is when, if you remember Genesis, they were, I want to say Genesis 6, but don't quote me on that. They're building this tower to the sky because they want to show, you know, the strength of humanity and in their own arrogance and their own pride. And God scatters them, you know, seemingly God is afraid of the power of humanity. Again, that's interpretation. But God scatters them and says, we can't have this happening because, you know, who knows what will happen if they all get together. And so he scatters them with different languages across the world. Now, that's a mythic story, of course. But it shows that humanity has been scattered into all these places and separated by language. And it brings about confusion so they can't, I mean, essentially, if we read between the lines, do things like building this powerful tower in the future, okay? That this act of scattering is to keep people separate. And here we have the exact opposite thing. But it also, isn't it funny, brings about confusion, right? It even says, at the sound of this, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in their own language. That this very thing that kept them separate, their own languages, now, through the Spirit of God, acting within these people who were in this upper room, all together in one place, and experience this driving wind, these tongues as of flames, filled with the Spirit, had to, you know, couldn't stay in the room, kind of spilled out into the public, and everybody heard them, and they name all these different countries, right? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and from Libya and Egypt and Cyrene, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're confused. Why? Because all of us hears them speaking in their own native language. Yet they're speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. That which is separate is now unified in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit speaking in the acts in the mighty acts of God. That it is God, brothers and sisters, who unites us, and it is for everyone, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, everybody. This message is for everyone. And if we don't think that, I mean, just look at the gospel reading that John is talking about. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he invites them to go out, right? If we continue reading, go out to everyone and bring this word into the world. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Brothers and sisters, here's my point. And it's a point that may discomfort some of you. We are part of a church. And I want to say this up front. I love being Catholic. It has nurtured me. It has brought me to this very place. It has continued to be a mother in which I dwell. All right? But because I love her, I need to point out when she's not living up to being what we are called to be. And in one way, she is not. And she is not living this universal message. She's not. We know all is welcome. We sing the song, which is one of my favorite, all are welcome. But then we put constraints around it. Of course you're welcome here around and within our community, but only those A, B, C, D are welcome at the table. Or even within our communities, there are strata, right? There are those who are in the inner circle and those who are in the outer circle. Not only that need to stay in the pews when we come up, but who may feel on the outside and then the margins. Brothers and sisters, Pope Francis, 2 years ago, when he was at World Youth Day in Lisbon, said, listen, the church not only, right, is a field hospital, it is not a community for the saved. Now, this was years ago he said that. Sorry, that's early in his papacy, that it is a field hospital. But 2 years ago at World Youth Day, he said, the church is totus, totus, totus. It is for everyone, everyone, everyone. It is universal. And brothers and sisters, if indeed Jesus is the image of the invisible God, if he is the sacrament of God, meaning he puts flesh on who and what God is, and Jesus is, by the way, we can look at Jesus and say that's what God is like. And if it is also true that the church is the sacrament of Jesus, which means it puts flesh on the ministry and life of Jesus, which, by the way, is also true. It is what we are called to do. When I was in theology, that is absolutely what we were taught. Jesus is the sacrament of God, puts flesh on God. The church is the sacrament of Jesus. It puts flesh on the ministry of Jesus. Then we cannot look at what the church is doing with who is welcome around that table and say we are fully the ministry and sacrament of Jesus. We are not. We are not, because we put conditions on who is welcome. And if we are to take this reading seriously, that the Spirit is for all, then we need to open up this table. We need to open up our communities and be that model and that witness in the world, because that will attract everyone. Conditions don't attract anyone. Everyone in the world has conditions. And are we not called to be different than the world? We are called to love in the manner of Jesus, who loved all and welcomed all and broke the boundaries of his day. And we too are called in that same and like manner. Brothers and sisters, I know some of you who this is making you uncomfortable are saying, but they're welcome at the table. We can't eat and drink the body of Christ unworthily, okay? And I get that. But here's what I also know. Here's what I also know. That there is not a gospel in which Jesus only gave the Eucharist at the Last Supper to 10 of the 12. And when he got to Peter, he said, ah, sorry, Pete. You know, you're going to do something, and you've already got that fear in your heart, and I'm not going to give it to you, but I'll give it to you after you repent. And we walk along the beach 3 times and you say you love me. Then you're welcome at the table. And he got to Judas and said, oh, sorry, Judas, can't give this to you. You know, but because, you know, you've already, the devil's entered your heart and you already have kind of laid the groundwork for my betrayal. Here's what I know. All of them received the Eucharist. Here's what I know. When the 11 and more were gathered behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, that Jesus didn't keep their running away and their lockedness. I know that's not a word. It sounds like a monster. Their lockedness from coming to them in their fear, in their betrayal, in their denial, in their running away and not owning up to who he is. Jesus did not stay distant, but came near and said, "Peace be with you." Brothers and sisters, it is when we are in sin. And brothers and sisters, if, by the way, you think, listen, I'm in the first wave in the ripple in the strata in the church, and I'm welcome at the table. We need to remember, we need to look at our own logs and our own eyes, that we are all sinners. And if some are some greater sinners than, I don't know that. Are some more public? Maybe. But here's what I know. When I'm living in sin, I need Jesus Christ more than anything. This is a universal message that is for everyone. And if we are going to live as our Savior did, we need to follow this message. It is for all. I was at a St. Joan of Arc this last weekend, and Father Jim Cassidy is the one who inspired me to say all these things. And he's right. Unconditional means unconditional. Brothers and sisters, unconditional means without condition. We are welcome. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God to the table. And it is only through and in Christ that I can move forward, that I can turn out of the great love that has been given me, that I can move beyond the failings and the smallness of my life and my viewpoint. It's for all, brothers and sisters, and we are all welcome, and we need to invite the church to be that sacrament of Jesus, to be that skin of what his ministry looked like, because we don't serve the world well when we don't do that. All right, second part, you are invited to be a part of this. There's no doubt about it, right? There's no doubt. I love this whole image. They're all in one place together, okay? It's the community. They're in one place together, really together. And this strong driving wind comes, and these flames, you know, these tongues of flame come to rest on each one of them. They are impassioned. They are emboldened. They are on fire, as it were. And they spill out, and they begin speaking. They didn't speak every one of these languages, brothers and sisters, individually. I didn't speak, you know, Elamite and Mesopotamian and Cappadocian, you know, in turn. I took one of them, not I, as in Joel, but each one of them. One spoke to the Elamites, one spoke to the Judeans, one spoke to the Cyrenians, one spoke to the Romans, one spoke to those from Phrygia. And that makes sense. We each have a unique language. We each were created in the way and in the place that God wanted us to. And in the Spirit, let me make that clear, we do not speak on our own. Because when we speak on our own, all I'm doing is speaking my own small stuff. But when I open myself to the Spirit of God, just as they did, when that driving wind moves me and I am on fire in Christ, I have something to say and I have something to be and I have some witness to give. Because that's how God made me and for what God made me. And that is also true of you. It is also true of you. It's why I read the second reading. We are all created with individual gifts that make up the body of Christ. And it's all in the Spirit. I love that image that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 12. You know, are all apostles, are all instructors, are all teachers, are all, you know, whatever. And he keeps going on. No. We are all part of it. We all have our own work to do. And I love this at the bottom, you know, in the gospel, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Spirit has sent me, so I send you. You individually, where you are right now, And it says, you know, the word apostle means one who is sent. And it's not just the 12 that were sent. It's not just those we consider the apostles, the bishops in the church today, although I'm not going to deny that. But we're all apostles. We're all sent. And brothers and sisters, you have a voice and you have a way that somebody somewhere is going to understand your language. Maybe not everybody will, but somebody will, and will be able to understand the mighty acts of God because of how you are living and where you are witnessing and what you're doing. And not all of this means we need to be speaking only. Some of this means I am made in a certain way and I need to live out of that lens and out of that way that God made me in Christ, and that is who I am called to be, and that is my ministry and witness in the world. I would say that is 100% true. I'm reading a book that Bridget has been recommending for the last 2 years. I finally picked it up off my nightstand. It is called Tattoos on the Heart by Gregory Boyle. He's a Jesuit priest, and I'm only a quarter of the way through it. But it's so marvelous. Again, Tattoos on the Heart. I'm going to recommend another book to you. I know I did last week too, Ron Rollheiser, Holy Longing. But this is a priest who is in the poorest parish in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles and happens to be in the very center of gangland. And so it's he and his community ministering to the members of these gangs. And I'm reading it and I'm thinking, part of me is like, man, I'm shamed. I'm like, I should be out there doing that. Or look what great work they're doing and I'm doing nothing. And the Spirit convicts me. It says, stop that. That's Greg Boyle's to do. That's not yours to do, Joe. You are where you are called to be right now. And you are called to be you, not Greg Boyle, right now. And you are called to minister and witness to those people in your life right now, right here. And maybe when you do that, maybe I'll invite you to something somewhere further beyond that, right? It's that whole parable of the coins where he gives us two and then we do something with it and we make four. And he says, hey, you were good with small things. Come, enter. I'm going to give you something larger now, bigger responsibility. Who knows what we're called to do in the future? But here's what I know. You have gifts, you right now and me. And we have a voice in Christ that is unique. We are created uniquely, and we are invited to live out of that unique space right now, where we are, however that is, however we are made. And in doing so, others will, and this is out of Matthew's gospel, you know, we are called to be that light, right? And so your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God. How do they give glory to God? They don't just, you know, say, hey, look at what John Bowen is doing. He's doing such great work. Thank you, God. Maybe they do that. I think, John, I thank God for you. But maybe they look at John and say, look at how he is being who God made him to be. And that gives them permission to be who God made them to be, those ones who are watching, and we give glory to God by being authentic, by speaking the language God gave us. Brothers and sisters, this is so good. This feast day reminds us that we are, the Spirit of God is for everyone, everyone. No exceptions. Totus, 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 as Francis said. Everyone, everyone, everyone. It's either all or nothing. And we are invited into that space. And you and I have a part to play in it by being who we are in Christ and being that unique person where we are and witnessing to it. And let the future take care of the future where we're called. Maybe we'll be out there helping Greg Boyle. Maybe we'll be doing something else right where we are. But you know what? That's where we're called to be. Because together, the church, that wonderful idea of the mosaic is put together. And that it looks like Christ. It looks like Christ. Brothers and sisters, I am so grateful for you. I'm grateful that you're listening to this one because it's a lengthy one, but felt like that's what needed to be. And one last time, let us take all this to prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, I am so grateful for you. I am grateful 723 episodes worth for your listening, for your lives, for your following where the Spirit of God leads you. One last time, may your week ahead, may your month ahead, may your year ahead, may your lives be filled with every good thing.